Well, now for new territory, turn to the book of the Song of Solomon. It goes Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So go to the right, and I bet it's been a long time since you studied something from Song of Solomon. It's not a real popular book, but by the way, on Wednesday night, we went through the Bible one book at a time. The whole theme of the Song of Solomon, it's the greatest little love story. Solomon was very wealthy, owned many vineyards, and the idea of the story is that he went to one of his vineyards wearing worker clothes instead of his royal clothes, and because they didn't have the internet and magazines and television, nobody really knew what he looked like unless you were around Jerusalem. And he went into this vineyard, and one of the workers there was a young lady, and he worked alongside of her tending the vines. She did not know that he was the king of Israel. He didn't let her in on that, and he worked alongside of her. She fell in love with him, and then he said, I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to go prepare a place, and I'll come back and get you. And when he comes back, he comes in his robes with his chariot with all of his mighty men of war, and she says, no, that's not my husband to be. And then she looks closely and listens to him and recognizes him. And it's a beautiful picture, by the way, prophetically of Israel and also the church, but all that. But the book is all about the beauty of divine love. And look at chapter 2. This is so interesting of Song of Solomon 2 and verse 14. Here's one of the features we should pray for in our children. Oh, my dove. By the way, you want to really spiff up your marriage, go home and say to your wife, oh, my dove. And she'll say, what's gotten into you? You know what I mean? But no, I'm serious. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff. Listen to this. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. You know what that's talking about? Just what it says. It talks about a couple looking at each other and talking to each other. So what do you want to write on that next line, number 5? Pray that they focus on listening. How do children learn to listen to their husband or wife when they're married? By learning to listen to their parents while they're at home and seeing their parents talking to each other. Do you remember when we went through the Growing Kids program with Gary Ezzo? Remember couch time? He said one of the greatest things you can do for your family is when you go home from work, dad, sit on the couch, and moms, as soon as he gets home, sit down on the couch and catch up with him and tell the children this is the most important time of the day as your father and I catch up. You know what that is? That's Song of Solomon 2:14. Let me see your face and let me listen to you. And it's line 5 of your little chart there. Focus on listening. Now, you should cultivate that in your family by asking your children. I do this 10, 20 times a day. I say, excuse me, and they look up. I say, now, Daddy's going to talk to you. Look at me while I talk to you. Have you ever noticed how many children never look at their parents when they talk to them? I don't even know if they're listening when their parents talk. How will they ever listen to their husband or wife? How will they ever learn to look at and talk to their husband or wife? Do you know a lot of couples never really talk? They just kind of, you know, it's like an airport. You know, they come and go, and it's a touch-and-go kind of thing, and they're just coming and going, but they don't really know each other, even though they're married. And one of the elements we need to pray for that we train at home is that they focus on listening. Here's a verse to write in by that from the New Testament, James 1:19. This is what this little epistle, one of the first in the New Testament to a church in Jerusalem, James, the pastor of that church, the brother of our Lord, said this, "So then, my beloved brethren," James 1:19, "let everyone be swift to hear." Remember what your parents told you when you were little? You have two ears and one mouth, right? You remember that? Well, that should still be. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Listen. Focus on listening. That's the area we should pray for in our families, number 5. Number 6, keep going to the right. Go to the book of Isaiah 32. This one is wonderful. Isaiah 32 is the next element we should be praying for by raising godly families one prayer at a time. In Isaiah 32 and verse 17, and let me read it for you. It says, "The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance." Now with your finger there, keep going to Isaiah 57. Okay, Isaiah 57. Just go 25 chapters to the right. And look what Isaiah 57, it's a contrast, and that's why I want to show it to you. Isaiah 57 and verse 20. It says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it can't rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Now, that's the wicked. Now, back to Isaiah 32:17, where you kept your finger. The work of righteousness is peace. The effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance. Isaiah 57, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea. Their waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace for the wicked." Do you see the contrast? What do we pray for And the sixth item on that line number six you write by Isaiah 32:17 is, pray that they have a peace-filled life. Peace-filled life. Why? Because the work of righteousness is peace. You want to know how God's righteousness is doing, penetrating the lives of your children? Look at the level of peace in their life. Is their life in total chaos and they're turned up and restless about everything in their life? Or is there a growing peace that the greatest thing in all the world is loving and knowing and serving you, and I am peacefully going through life? Yes, it's challenging. Yes, school is hard, but even this will pass away. And yes, child year, raising years are hard, but even that will pass away. And getting old and dying is hard, but that will pass away. And there is peace like a river that we have quietness and assurance as we go through life. Pray for your children and those you love, that they have a peace-filled life. Now keep going to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi. And we've covered the whole Old Testament in 20 minutes. Isn't that amazing? Malachi chapter 2. Here we go. And look at verse 14. And this is a vital prayer, number 7, that we should have. Pray that they, and if you want to write this on that line, never break their covenant with God. Malachi 2:14. Listen to the prophet Malachi, which says this, yet ye say, wherefore? The whole book of Malachi is seven questions and answers that God is interchanging with the nation Israel. And this is one of them. Wherefore? Because the Lord hath been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. It continues, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. In contemporary America, a lot of people don't even go to weddings anymore. They just go to the receptions. I don't know if you've noticed that. There's usually a few people at the wedding and a lot of people at the party, you know. But what they miss is the whole purpose of marriage. Marriage is when two people, as it says in the ceremony, come to this altar. And they, in the presence of God and assembled witnesses, make a covenant with God that involves each other. Two people make a covenant with God about how they're going to relate to each other. Two people make a covenant with God how they're going to relate to each other. Did you catch that? That's what marriage is. A covenant with God that I am going to be faithful and loyal and sacrificial for that person until death parts us. Not till divorce or finances or kids or in-laws or don't like them anymore departs us. But till death. Now what do we pray? And you can write this on line 7 if you haven't yet. Pray that they never break their covenant with God. You know, what I pray for is that my children meet that person that looks like this, a person that's following God's, that wants to follow God's rules, a person that wants a pure home, a person that wants to keep their word, a person that wants to stay miles away from the wicked, foolish person of Proverbs, a person that wants to focus on listening and wants to have a peace-filled life, and that they never break their covenant with that person. And they will have the most wonderful life on earth that's possible to have. Doesn't mean they'll be rich, doesn't mean they'll be successful in the world's eyes, but they will have a wonderful life. Because if you never break your covenant with God, he promised what marriage would be like in his word.